Oh, I tried to catch you while you were rubbing your eyes. I thought that would be a great start to the podcast, Chris, but
is that audible?
Couldn't type it in time.
Is that as audible as audible.com?
Yeah, it was a little like type noise. You have very loud eyes.
I'll say it. It was crusty.
Gross.
Mm-hmm. I'm a gross person. You don't have anything planned. You kind of just start the thing and rely on me to sort of get us going here.
Do I? Is that how you think? I think I bring 50% of the action to the table.
Do you feel like we've been too antagonistic in the pre-roll?
I am nice to you.
That's interesting. You are nice to me. I think that's patently untrue.
What? Is this the carbo loading thing?
Oh, don't even get me started. I'm sorry for the ears of the listeners, but that I didn't even remember that, and now you're bringing it all back. But
well, what else could you be? That was the only time that I was even borderline, and that was still being nice.
You're constantly kind, otherwise.
Exactly.
We don't have to litigate this here. It's time for High Floor, Low Ceiling.
Quick direction to the point. This would never happen if you ever let us record in person.
Yeah, we'd never talk over each other in person. That's impossible. Welcome to High Floor, Low Ceiling, the podcast you're listening to now, and it's about sports as well.
Wow. Not clunky. Good. Good intro.
Okay.
Shrek? Is that you?
Hey, this is a perfect thing for us to start the episode with. We were talking about Star Wars earlier.
Yes, we were.
I made that gif of, I wish I knew those guys' names. And I will be looking it up shortly. But do you have any thoughts, Griffin? You're a big Star Wars fan, as I recall.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts about McClunky?
Chris, I fear that I have let you down, because although this does sound familiar to me, I cannot off the top of my head remember McClunky. I'm just going to fire him into Google quickly. I've got McClunky there. Oh, this is, of course, something that Greedo says.
Yes, famously, in all versions. Just quickly, the name of the podcast, or not podcast. You know, pod racing kind of invented podcasting.
I bet you there's some great pod racing podcasts.
Oh, so true. Talking about Old Arbido. Fodsenbeed Anodu, also known as Fode and Bead, is the two-headed pod race commentators.
Well, now people can know who you made a gif of, and that's important stuff.
Fode would speak in a galactic basic standard drawl, while Bead would provide information in Huddies.
Oh, so they weren't play-by-play in color. They were,
No, they both...
were doing I guess both they in kind different of both languages? Provided...
Yes, they both... commentating both play-by-play and color in Galactic Basic and Huddies, respectively.
Do you think George Lucas brought in a sports commentary consultant? Do we think he reached out to, like, Marv Albert or, like, whoever does the NASCAR to really...
Marv Albert or whoever does the NASCAR.
Well, just because it's a racing commentator, do we think he really wanted authenticity in that role?
Well, of course, famously, Griffin, whichever one speaks English, or, you know, Star Wars equivalent...
Basic.
Is Greg Proops of, whose line is it anyway, fame? You
that guy.
Love Colin Mochrie.
Yeah. Do I famously love Colin Mochrie? Sure.
I would say so.
The guy...
How did I know that if it wasn't famous?
True. Okay. Good for him. Good for him to get into the Star Wars universe. But still, that seems like a golden opportunity for some sort of cameo. Like, you know how in Cars, all of the... they're all, like, real NASCAR commentators who have their names turned into car puns?
Right. So you think it should be, like, Greg Pods?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess also it would have to be a real commentator.
Yeah. Greg Proops is out, unfortunately.
You think it should be Marv Aldarbido?
Perfect. Would that take you out of Star Wars to hear Marv Albert's voice coming out of a two-headed alien?
And they're saying his pod racer has now exploded.
I mean, Jimmy Stewart could do it as well, I guess, but...
The thing is, I hate to say this after we just talked about being antagonistic towards each other, my Marv Albert is a better Jimmy Stewart than your Jimmy Stewart.
Hi!
Very breathy, Jimmy.
I just watched Anatomy of a Fall, or Anatomy of a Murder. I also watched Anatomy of a Fall, but I just watched Anatomy of a Murder, so I now have more weapons in the weapon case. More tools in the two chests for my Jimmy Stewart.
I should start doing a Henry Fonda to sort of compliment you.
Yeah, the two goats?
Yeah.
I was reading a Letterboxd review of yours recently that said Henry Fonda may be the goat. Oh, it's for the Oxbow incident.
Oh, yeah, he's so good in that. That's crazy.
Continue.
I'm trying to sort of muster up my Fonda. Okay. I've never heard this before either. So if you hear it and it's bad, then, like, you'll understand.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it either. Okay, but here it is.
I'm just trying to think, like, does Henry Fonda have, like, a famous voice? Like, I feel like he just has a normal voice.
No, come on. All right, he's like this. Okay, wait, give me a line that the 12 Angry Men guy would say.
I just don't think we should send a boy to die without looking at all the facts.
Okay. I'm scared of what's going on.
You're among friends.
Okay, but here it is.
Well, I didn't know Henry Fonda had such a high-pitched giggle.
I just don't think we should send a boy to die without looking at all the facts. And I know that wasn't good.
Is this how you feel all the time when I'm doing my impression?
But you understand that Henry Fonda has a distinctive voice.
It sounded like Bugs Bunny, like, doing, like, no. Wearing one of his wigs, so, like, he doesn't talk exactly the same as Bugs Bunny normally talks, but he's, like, disguising his voice a little bit.
That's not true. Henry Fonda, he kind of has, like, he's like, no, that's Henry Fonda.
I don't think so. Do you think we'll get in trouble if we play a Henry Fonda clip into the microphone right here?
You're going to play it off your phone and it's going to be way too loud? Yeah, let's do it.
I'll turn that down. Henry Fonda.
Should I fill the air while you do that?
Yeah, please
Should
do.
Should I talk about the weather conditions where it's okay to miss a game?
Well, that's coming up here.
Sorry. I can't.
Sorry, I just have an ad for the spicy dill pickle buddy burger, limited time only.
YouTube Premium.
You pay for YouTube Premium? Not a sponsor.
Honey, you're watching a pickle ad right now.
All right, let's see here. 12 Angry Men, 2 out of 10 movie clip. It's the same knife, 1957.
I think there's going to be a lot of people that aren't Henry Fonda talking here.
This is not Henry Fonda. Is that loud? Is that good?
A little louder.
No, I'm just saying it's possible the boy lost his knife and that somebody else stabbed his father with a similar knife.
That is vindication. That is vindication. He has
no, I'm just saying it's possible that the guy stabbed his father with a knife. I'm just saying. You're too high pitched. I'm just saying it's possible.
Sorry, I'm a woman. I'm just saying it's possible.
I'm just saying it's possible.
I'm just saying it's possible.
You're ruining mine with yours, I think. You're contaminating my perfect Fonda.
I'm ruining yours.
I'm just saying it's possible.
That is the worst one of them all. That was a woman, respectfully. That was like, I don't know, who's a famous woman? Name a woman, go ahead. Just anyone.
Michelle Obama.
Great, thank you. And let's move on to intangibles.
Intangibles, Chris. Last week, we barely missed the story due to recording time of DeAndre Ayton missing a Portland Trailblazers game due to ice ice on the roads, could not get to the game. First of all, just your generic thoughts. Does DeAndre Ayton, does he have that will to win? Does he have that desire? And what does this prove?
I don't know if he has that dog in him, certainly.
Every other Trailblazer managed to get to the game.
Here's the thing. This is like bait for a Canadian.
Oh, boy.
Or also, I saw a friend of mine, maybe more of an acquaintance, if I'm being totally honest, from Minnesota, who was like, oh, I've driven when it's like this in a big snowstorm.
Yep.
And I drove 3 hours. So, and my response to that was, do you think that he could not drive his car due to a lack of skill? Because that seems to be what's purported, is that, like, he just wasn't good enough at driving a car.
Right.
And also, according to the reports, if I recall correctly, multiple, like, Trailblazer staff members had come out there.
Yeah, they tried to help him out. Get him.
They were trying to extract him from his home. And I was like, do you think that... It was just like, we're just not good enough. We need someone from Minnesota who's so good that they can do it. Methinks not.
But was there no other way? Like, is there a bus? Like, Portland's a leftist paradise, is it not? Would it not have a good public transportation system?
Would it not have a good bus? I think probably he lives in a neighborhood where you would have to go a ways to find a piece of transportation that was not a car.
I assume
that the whole neighborhood is iced.
That's also probably true.
Hey, and I ain't talking about the snow on the ground, you know? Ice on the wrist.
Oh, flex. Okay, so Chris, in honor of DeAndre Ayton, I have got a list from the National Severe Storms Laboratory, which is a division of the National Oceanographic and
Astronomical?
No. I forget what the NOAA stands for, but some sort of government agency in the United States, I believe.
That's Oceanographic? That's the name of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Terrible name, but yes, that is probably what it is. The NOAA. So I've got a list of severe weather 101. I'm going to give you some severe weather. You're going to tell me if you found out that one of your team's star players could not make it to the game due to this weather, would you accept that? Let's say you're a head coach. Are you punishing them in practice the next day?
Punishing them.
Are you making them run laps or shoot extra free throws or what? So the first
spankings.
One. No. That's straight to HR.
if they asked for it.
If they asked to be punished at practice.
This is murky territory.
This is for the HFLC After Dark edition.
Cut that out.
Just a
long bleep.
No. This is being left in. The people deserve to know what kind of woman you are. Thunderstorms is the first one on the list, Chris. Thunderstorms.
I think that the optics are a little poor. I think that you might have some deeper psychological issues maybe to unpack if you couldn't make it to the game because you were scared of being struck by lightning.
All right, so you're not accepting thunderstorms as an excuse for a player to miss a game.
Well, it's not that if the alternative is that I'm punishing someone.
Just, like, run an extra, like, sprint at practice the next day.
That seems unfair, though, don't you think?
I feel like in this sports macho culture, I feel like that is sort of... Okay, what about if you were a GM? Would you fine them? $5,000.
Fire them. No, fine them. It sounds like they need help.
All right. I think you would be well within your rights to fine a player for missing a game
I think the question should be, would I raise my eyebrow? As like a...
Sure. Would you raise your eyebrow at thunderstorms?
And I think, frankly, I would.
You're too sympathetic of a
person
to fine them.
The next one,
tornadoes, Chris. Would you?
I think that's fine. I think.
Let's say it's no tornadoes sighted in the area, not like on their street or anything like that. Just.
I think no one should go to the game. I think the game should be postponed.
Okay, have this you seen is why you don't make Griffin? Any money as a GM slash owner.
So true,
Jerry Jones.
But everyone loves me. Have you seen that clip where it's like, I think it's in Atlanta, maybe?
Oh, yeah, the college basketball game goes to overtime, and then no one leaves because it goes to overtime, and then a tornado, like, destroys the parking lot.
Yeah, you can, like, there's, like, stuff falling from the ceiling because there's a tornado happening.
Yeah, crazy. Next one, Chris, is floods. Except for heat-related fatalities, more deaths occur from flooding than any other weather-related hazard. With that in mind...
I think that they would be essentially impossible to make it if there was a flood.
Kobe would have bought a boat. That's all I'm saying.
I don't doubt that.
He had that dog in him. Lightning. One of the oldest observed natural phenomena on Earth. At the same time, it is also one of the least understood.
I don't think that could possibly be true.
As far as we know, it's just Zeus up there chucking them down. Yeah,
throwing bolts. I previously alluded to this with thunderstorms. I mean, if we're talking about thunderstorms separate from lightning, then I might be throwing a fine down. If it's just thunder, then I might have a problem.
Okay, but lightning, are you also having a problem?
I'm raising an eyebrow, as I previously said. Okay.
Hail, Chris. Hail can cause billions of dollars of damage to structures, crops, and livestock.
Hey, we do it to the Chief all the time.
I can't come to the game. It's hailing. What are you saying?
I'd say hail a cab and get your ass down here.
Nice. Good one. Damaging winds, Chris. Straight line winds are responsible for most thunderstorm damage. These winds can cause as much damage as a tornado.
Sounds like me after I eat a big burrito.
Disgusting. Terrible and disgusting.
We can't kill a child. What does he say? I was just jumping back to Henry quickly.
He says, we can't send
do your perfect one. Go ahead.
We can't send a child to the chair.
You don't. You have no sense of him.
I don't. I need to watch more Fonda. I've seen a lot of Fonda, just not enough to... I mean, he's not... His voice doesn't stick in the mind the way Jimmy Stewart does.
That can't... I feel like you're not listening. He's got like he's got a flow and he's got a croak. And
well, you weren't doing a croak. You were doing a falsetto.
I was... That's not true. Henry Fonda talks like this. No, that's true. Doesn't. That's so... Bleeping true.
You're doing some other actor. You're closer to like Jack Nicholson than you're Henry Fonda.
Well, I can see actually, but Jack doesn't have the Jack's more like this.
You just did the same voice twice.
No, I didn't. And the recording will vindicate me. I finally have time to watch Minari.
Incredible stuff. Winter weather is the last one on the list.
We're still doing the weather? Don't we have two segments?
Yeah, but this is fine. This is intangibles. Forecasting winter weather accurately is very difficult because a degree or two of temperature change can mean the difference between snow or freezing rain. If a player says, I can't come to the game, Chris, it's winter. What are you saying?
I would be questioning their thinking.
All right, there we have it. Congratulations, DeAndre. Thank you for the segment. If you disagree with Chris on any of those, write in. Let us know. You are clearly looking up some sort of Jane
yeah,
Henry Fonda
I was looking
video.
At something else. You got me.
It's a very unusual knife. I've never seen one like it.
I will.
That's not Henry Fonda.
Who sold it to the boy. Aren't you asking us to accept a pretty incredible coincidence?
I'm just saying a coincidence is possible.
And I say...
Possible.
I'm just saying a coincidence is possible.
You're not putting any croak on it. You gotta put
I'm
croak.
Just saying a coincidence is possible.
It's possible.
It's possible.
You believe it's possible?
I'm just saying a coincidence is possible.
Possible. I will be vindicated by this. Thing. Everyone write in, please. I know we have listeners out there. I know we have listeners that text Griffin about the show, and we thank you for it. Please write in and say that my Henry Fonda impression was superior, because I will not stand for this. We need to take it to an outside jury.
I think the people will vindicate me. I've been suffering for 3 years now, just for all of it to lead up to this moment. Chris, we're going to play a game.
That was as if there had been an edit point, but there was not.
I know that. That is exactly what I was going for, and I'm glad to hear
it. LTT here.
Exactly. Once again, the best kind of episodes, LTT. Chris, we're going to play the game that got cut from last week's game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last week's podcast, some are saying. I've had a haircut since then.
Kind of a big game.
You haven't said anything about it.
Are you worried that the lightweight will make it too easy for you?
What do you mean by easy for me?
Well, you're faster. And less weight on your brain.
Right. So do you just mean like life in general will now be too easy for me?
Well,
start to coast.
Well, that's part of your life.
I see. Chris, we're going to be playing a little game I like to call...
That was a bit of Jiminy Glick. If we're talking about impressions.
I just went high, yeah. My only good impression, Jiminy Glick. No. We're going to play a game.
Then that was Jimmy Stewart. We're all mixed
up. Is that
up
a flawless
here.
Stewart?
That was a perfect Jimmy Stewart.
He was really good in Anatomy of a Murder.
You can't murder me.
That's
Henry
Fonda.
Fonda getting murdered.
He's indignant at the thought of it.
Well, that is kind of his thing, because he, of course, famously, Alfred Hitchcock's The Wrong Man is entirely just about how they got the wrong man and have accused Henry Fonda of a crime. He's like, I didn't do that. That's not what the whole movie is.
I didn't do that. I feel like he would hit the do.
No, I can't explain to you how Henry Fonda works.
Let's watch the Oxbow Incident together sometime.
Sure, love that movie.
Chris, we're playing Trade, Sign, or Kill. Which, of course, is related to the famous game, apologies to Sharon, Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Oh, disgusting.
So we're going to take some impending free agents from around the sports world. We're focusing on hockey and basketball, since those are the two sports with a trade deadline coming up. And we're going to play Trade, Sign, or Kill. So this is an impending free agent. If you think they should get rid of them, you trade them. If you think they're tradable. If you think they should stay with the franchise, you re-sign them, obviously. And if you think that they should just let the contract expire and then they walk, you kill them. So we're going to start with a franchise icon of a legendary franchise, a legendary team of the past 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. I guess just the past 10 years. Chris, Klay Thompson is a pending free agent. He's a Golden State Warriors legend. He's also bad at the game of basketball now.
It's an issue, for sure.
Trade, sign, or kill Klay Thompson. I guess the point of the game is I have to give you three, eh?
No, I think this is fine. I think you're sort of putting a twist on things.
Okay.
What I will say, Griffin, is there's no circumstance in which you would, you know, even disregarding... Oh, sorry, I gotta clear my throat 1 second. You fill some time.
Well, hey! Zuzu!
Perfect, thank you.
They say the word panties a lot in Anatomy of a Murder. Not sure if you saw my Letterboxd review. It's actually like a major plot point. It's very, very disconcerting to hear everyone in 1959.
And how do you think I feel now?
I didn't like saying it. It's a terrible word.
I think the flaw... Well, let's not go that far. I think the flaw, Griffin... Why would I... Even disregarding the fact that you have chosen the word kill...
Well, that's just the name of the game.
Mm-hmm. You didn't choose it. It's just the name.
Yeah, I can't help that.
why would I ever choose to kill some? I guess it's more like expectations or what I would do as the GM.
Yeah, it's just like,
because maybe they can't be treated. Because why would you not trade someone if you could?
Well, maybe, I mean, if you're the GM of the Golden State Warriors, do you want to be the guy who traded Klay Thompson? You're not. That's not going to look very good on you.
I guess that's fair. Because I was going to say, Klay Thompson to me feels like the quintessential kill.
Or maybe you want to make like one more playoff run. Like, you don't want to sell off a good player, even if you're not sure that you can re-sign them. Or if it's smart to
actually
re-sign
them. Actually, there is a case for that right here, in my opinion. But yeah, I think Klay Thompson's a classic kill. I think his day is done. Maybe he can sort of revitalize himself a little bit with another team, but I don't think that you're really going to be getting any value for him in a trade, and I don't think that you really want to be the person that gives him his next contract. So,
okay, good to know. Good to know. Klay Thompson, sorry. Thanks for the memories in the Bay Area. You're out.
Well, I mean,
harsh but fair.
I think it's almost even more of a Kyle Lowry situation, really, where people are like, we love you, we're always going to love you, but we're not going to be upset that you're walking away right now and signing like a 3-year, $60 million deal somewhere else.
Yeah, I do think that if I were the GM, I would kill, but I wonder if he will end up being a sign. Like, if they'll just be like, our window's over anyway. I mean, but with Steph Curry playing the way he is, like, you could have another window if you gave him a better supporting cast. So it's tough to say. It's tough to say. Let's take it to the ice for the next one, Chris. Sam Reinhart has 56 points in 44 games for the Florida Panthers. He's done this, like, he's played at a point-a-game pace like this before, but never at this level. And he's doing it at the perfect time as he is a pending free agent. Chris, I know you're a big hockey fan now. You've been following it a lot more closely the last couple of years. So Sam Reinhart, trade, sign, or kill?
It's an interesting question, Griffin, because they are in a bit of a precarious situation, especially since he's 28 years old, an interesting sort of needle to be threading. Because, you know, if he's 30, then maybe you're thinking like, oh, well, he's going to be getting up there. Like, I don't know. You don't know if you want to be the one to give him that long extension, but you could give him a 7-year deal. And that's only taking him till he's 35, and that doesn't seem egregious. I will say, because more than really the points, I think it's the goals. He has 35 goals, which is already a career high for him.
Right.
But if you look, he's got 18 goals coming on the power play. He leads the league in power play goals. And he also leads the league, Griffin, in shooting percentage. At an insane, frankly, 27.3%.
Wow, more than one out of every four shots is going in for Sam Reinhart.
Exactly. And I think usually that's kind of the number that people point to a lot. That's like, there's variance there. Even if you're getting a high quality of shots or like something has tangibly changed within your game, a big part of it is like, if you're getting good shots, then a certain amount of it is going to come down to luck. And so his shooting percentage is drastically inflated. He's scoring a lot on the power play. But at the same time, you've put yourself now in this situation where you have this very good player. You're a very good team right now.
Yeah, they're second in the Atlantic, certainly going to be making a playoff run.
Right. So you've put yourself in a difficult position. I think that it's a try to sign. It's a Fred Van Vliet almost, where if he's signing for a bit of a hometown discount, maybe not the absolute most he can make on the open market, but he's signing long term. I don't know what that number might look like, because I'm not a hockey salaryologist.
You're not a capologist, yeah.
No, certainly not. But, you know, if he's signing a long-term deal with a bit of a bump down in salary, I think, yeah, sure, that's a guy you certainly would want around. But if someone is coming in and, you know, throwing like $80 million at him or something like that, then you maybe just go like, well, there's not a lot we can do.
Yeah. So is that technically a kill if we're not signing him before the deadline?
I think it's, yes, I suppose so. I think you let him expire and then sort of try and, unless, I guess, it's a sign. I think it's a soft sign, because if you can get into that contract now, obviously, if you're signing someone before they hit free agency, which is more of a thing in hockey, I feel like,
yeah,
that people are signing these deals before they end up in free agency.
Yeah, agreed.
So I think that you should be trying to sign him to a reasonable deal. And then if he's like, no, I want this amount that you're not willing to pay, then you can just say, okay, we'll kill you. and then you don't have to, you know, just throw him away. You can sort of try and work within whatever is happening on the market.
I agree with that, Chris. I think that's an excellent measured take. All right, let's keep it on the ice and let's go local here with Tyler Bertuzzi, one of maybe the biggest marquee free agent signing for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. They signed him to a one-year contract. He was hoping to play with Matthews and Marner to get a big deal going forward, get a lot of points. They were hoping to get some grit, some toughness, and a power forward. It seemed like a match made in heaven. It has not worked out well at all. The numbers do show him being one of the unluckiest players in the NHL when it comes to scoring chances and things like that. They're just not going in. What are you doing with the, right now, 19 points in 42 games? Yike, that may have been updated since the last time I did this.
20 points in 45 games now.
Okay, so worse. 20 points in 45 games for Tyler Bertuzzi.
I mean, I will say, just based on, I have watched, you know, a decent number of Maple Leafs games in my time. He doesn't feel like someone who's just been absolutely terrible. Like,
no.
He is noticeable when he's on the ice and things like that. Those numbers do surprise me a little, but also, were you expecting him to be a point-of-game guy? I guess he was that in Detroit, like, you know,
I think they were hoping to get 80 or 90 points out of him. That the vision was him playing with Matthews and Marner. Like,
well, think about how many guys you're then asking to be 80 or 90 point guys. Like,
well, just by being out there, you would think, by the merit of picking up secondary assists.
Well, I think also a lot of his, you know, I think a lot of the total share of points that were left over from people that aren't Matthews or Marner have gone to William Nylander, especially for forwards. Like,
true.
You know, there's barely anyone else on the Leafs who's at a half point per game, even. You know, John Tavares is at 34 points in 46, and then it's Max Domi 24 in 46 is the next highest. So I do think that, like, a disproportionate amount of the numbers, like, just in terms of, like, there's only so many points you can have for a team for a season. And I think a disproportionate number have gone to William Nylander, so you sort of understand it. But also, you know, he's not, I don't think, at least, based on what I saw of him in Detroit and Boston last year, then the Leafs this year, is he really that kind of guy that you're expecting him to go get, like, a point a game or somewhere in that area? That seems just, like, such a big ask for him. And I know he was, like, he has hit around that area before, and he was around that area in Boston, but it seems like a high expectation for him.
All right, so you have some sympathy for Tyler Bertuzzi.
I do, and I also think, you know, if you sign a one-year prove-it deal and you fail to prove it, then your price is going to go down. And, you know, if they brought him back on, I don't know what kind of deal he'll be looking to sign next year.
Yeah, all right.
What big, if he signed a Ryan Reeves deal?
I would take that for Tyler Bertuzzi, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so a sign for Tyler Bertuzzi? I
think he's a soft sign.
I'm not quite at and the get, point there. I've got him. I'm killing him as well.
Okay.
I just don't think it's been there. Let's go back to the hard court with a couple of forms. Let's time check. All right, last one here. Let's do a former Raptors legend. But which one will I choose? There are two on the dock here. I think it seems clear DeMar DeRozan is getting traded. So let's do Jonas Valanciunas of the New Orleans Pelicans. Hard to believe, but almost 32 years old. The Pelicans are having an up-and-down season. They've got centers and, well, they've got their center in Jonas Valanciunas. What do you think, Chris? Are we trading, signing, or killing? And the Pelicans currently hanging on to the sixth spot in the West. 26-18 is their record.
Yeah, they are a playoff team right now. I don't think you can really just dump him at this point. His minutes, you know, he's been more of a 20, you know, and almost for his career, you know, if you remember back in the day, the whole thing was Dwayne Casey was like, oh, he has conditioning issues. That was the big thing. They're like, he can only play 25, 26, 27, 28 minutes per game because, like, he doesn't have it in him to play 30. And now he kind of has gone back down to, like, mid-20s. He's at 26.5 this year, 25 last year. Still productive in those minutes, for sure.
Also because can players like Jonas Valanciunas, can they close games?
It's a fair question. And they also do have that kind of classic, you roll out five forwards kind of lineup.
Right.
And they are capable of doing that. So I think that's a fair point as well. I will say the New Orleans Pelicans, top 10 in both offense and defense. They're quite good this year. They are fifth in the West. So as I was saying, I don't think you can just dump him. And if you look at his money, he's making $15 million this year. For a starting center in this league, I think that's an okay price point for sure. And then, you know, if you're re-signing him to something around that number, then I think you'd be very happy. And even if you were re-signing him to like a three-year, an $18 million a year contract, I think that that's a reasonable price point for your starting center. And also, if he were to decline, it's not a contract that I think you would be like, oh, this is breaking our backs. We can't hope to move this, like CJ McCollum's contract. A loud hiss has taken over your room, but I'll press on.
I believe is the kettle running?
Uh-oh, another episode of your famous roommate files.
Oh, Chris, some people just don't have a lot of respect, you know? I'm not going to say who, but...
That's fair. So my point being, and again, we don't hedge here. So I'm going to say sign Jonas Valanciunas. He has contributed admirably to this team. You know, I think he has really rounded into a pretty complete player. Obviously not a defensive stopper. I don't think he's ever going to be that kind of player. But you look at almost an Andre Drummond type of player in his prime where he's, even if he's not providing rim protection necessarily, he's providing size in the middle. He's providing rebounding. There is value there, and they are a good defense regardless of how good he is as a rim protector. So I think sign him.
All right, that's very interesting. I was going back and forth between kill and sign. I'm going to stick with sign as well. You convinced me he's 32, but I feel like his game will age pretty well. He's not super reliant on athleticism or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He's got the soft touch around the hoop, a good rebounder, so sign him to another two or three years, and I think you'll be just fine and happy even with what you get, I dare say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be doing more trade deadline talk. Wait, we didn't get to anyone that we actually wanted to trade. DeMar DeRozan, he's getting traded. All right, when we come back, more trade deadline talk right here on High Floor, Low Ceiling. And we're back. Chris, what do you think of the rest of this pod being a lying down pod? Could I lie down and get away with it? You could just really make this the therapy that it's always been.
Oh, you wish. Is that a proposal?
No, or... What if I just...
I don't understand what surface you're on right now. I thought you were in a chair.
I'm on a couch.
Oh. That's so interesting. That totally changes my perspective of this recording.
I'm on a couch, and it's going fast, and I got a nautical theme Pashmina Afghan.
You for said sure? that like you had to think about it, which is surprising.
No. He's the king of the world on a boat like Leo. If you on the show, then you show not Leo.
Get the... And we won't continue from there.
Yeah, you already cussed once on this podcast. Griffin! Chris! We got a segment... You can't kill the boy.
That was good. That was a good one.
I think that one was good.
You're honing insane. In on it.
You're lost. That one was good. That one was good. But the fact that you identified that one as good and refused to even say that I was close on the
other
ones
were two Bugs Bunny.
You're lost, man. We talked about, of course, Trade Sign Kill, your hot new segment. I've got a hot new segment of my own that I think we've probably done before. This is the double trade deadline cross town all around round.
Slamma jamma.
And Griffin, you had a bit of history you wanted to share, first of all.
Well, yeah, we're doing cross-sport trades here today, Chris, and I just wanted to share that thanks to my work on the 32 Thoughts podcast, everyone go check that out. This almost actually happened once, according to a book by Jeff Kirbyson, the owner of the LA Kings and Lakers, Jack Cook, tried to convince the owner of the Chicago Blackhawks and Bulls, Arthur Wirtz, to trade Brett Hull to the LA Kings in exchange for Wilt Chamberlain going to the Chicago Bulls. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that, Chris. It's a fascinating what if. Would it have even been allowed? Who's to say?
I don't know. They would let you do anything at that time. I will say that, you know, they had Artis Gilmore. I guess he didn't come to the NBA till later, but so it's kind of a moot point, but it would have created a bit of a lineage of dominant big men in Chicago if you went from Wilt Chamberlain to Artis Gilmore.
Yeah, a lineage of two.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I had Bob Love. Bill played the power forward position.
Bill Whittington, was that his name?
Wennington. Horace Grant, an actual good player.
Hey, what are you trying to say about either Canadian or Australian? I forget which. Bill Whittington.
Luke Longley, of course, is Australian.
Right, so Bill Whittington was the Canadian.
That he's not that good, I guess. not you doing a whole crowd of people guess. Griffin.
Yeah, fun fact for you there.
That is a very fun fact, and thank you for sharing. And that did give me an idea for a segment that we should do that as a segment in the future. But in this segment, we're going to look at some teams and some players that need a change of scenery, that are expected to be
an incredible change of scenery.
The ultimate change of scenery. And so I guess that's like being sent to jail is the ultimate change of scenery.
Interesting take.
But we're going to look at some teams and some players that have been talked about either as teams making trades or players that will be traded. And we are going to match them up with a cross-sport trade. So we might be sending a hockey player to a basketball team or vice versa.
I like it.
All right. And did you want to go first? Because we sort of, to shake things up a little... You picked teams that needed players. I picked players that needed destinations.
Yeah, why don't we start with the home of the 70-point man, the Philadelphia 76ers. I had a weird dream last night that Anfernee Simons scored 73 points in a game.
Okay.
For the Portland Trailblazers.
That's the show. Yeah. I want to talk about your dream.
Well, it was weird because I was talking to like this... really top level, like Canadian basketball high school player.
Mm-hmm.
And he had decided to go to Western, the University of Western Ontario.
Well, it's just Western University now, but go ahead.
And I was like, interesting that you want to go there for basketball. Like, no disrespect, it's a great basketball program, but like, there are lots of great basketball programs. Why do you want to do that? And he said, well, you know, 8 games in New York, 2 games in L.A. And I was like, of course, those famous New York and L.A. games that Western plays every year.
8 games in New York.
Yeah, they play 8 regular season games in New York as part of, like, a cross-cultural
initiative
exchange. And then we looked out of the window, and Anfernee Simons had slipped and fallen on the ice and hurt his ankle, and, like, the trainer was, like, coming out. And we were like, oh, no, this is bad. He's broken his ankle. And then... they're like coming out of the game with 73 points. Anfernee Simons. And I was like, oh my god, he had 73 points.
And that's he was crazy. In the game, and, but somehow slipped
yeah,
on the
yeah, he was
ice.
Somehow outside as well. He's just like out on the street. And like the trainer was like shaking his head, like, damn. Like the trainer looked mad at Anfernee Simons for slipping on the ice.
Well, that's fair. I mean, why did he go outside? That's what could have happened to DeAndre Ayton.
True. Yeah, thank God DeAndre Ayton didn't go. So that was my dream.
That's terrific stuff, and I'm glad we were able to fit that in somewhere. I was not expecting that. But you were talking about, of course, a different 70-point man, not Anfernee Simons. I'm talking about Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid scored 70, but the Philadelphia 76ers are in need of some tertiary scoring. Tobias Harris is not going to get it done. They need some shooting and some floor spacing in particular. So someone who I think it has the potential to be a big impact move at this NHL deadline is the San Jose Sharks, Anthony Duclair. He's a good scorer, certainly. We've seen him score at elite levels before. So I'm going to send Anthony Duclair to the Philadelphia 76ers.
I like the pick, Griffin. Certainly, I think, you know, an underrated player on account of he plays at San Jose at the moment. But yeah, I think that that's exactly the right kind of move for Anthony Duclair. He's going to a good team. He's going to a team where he doesn't even have to be the second scoring option. He can sort of just, you know, be a little on the fringes, but still contribute a lot. I like it. I think that's perfect. And I think it's great for the 76ers, obviously. But they might need to beef up their defense.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Duclair is not really going to help much on that front. So maybe a couple of trades on the horizon for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Maybe they can get Radko Gudas. Griffin, one player that I'll go to the world of basketball here. One player, obviously, that we have heard a lot of things about him being traded is a player that was just traded, a hometown player for the moment. The Toronto Raptors' very own Bruce Brown was obviously sent over in the Pascal Siakam trade, and obviously the idea seemed to be from the Raptors that they were planning to reroute him again to a new location before the trade deadline. And I think the thing about Bruce Brown that's interesting is he's an on-court glue guy. He doesn't really seem like, you know, this amazing veteran leader. That's not to impugn his leadership abilities, but he doesn't seem like that kind of player in the vein of, like, I don't know, a Danny Green.
Right.
He's only 27 years old. He does have championship experience, though.
Yes, he does.
And I think what he provides is the on-court, like, he can sort of produce in many different ways. He can go on a bit of a scoring spree if you need him to. I think he's a great, like, connector of the ball. Like, he's great at just making passes. Not necessarily, like, running a pick and roll and getting an assist, but just making the right pass at the right time. And so I think that they need a solid two-way player. I think that he should go to a team that is in contention, has veteran leadership already, so he's not, like, you know, he's not bringing the veteran aspect, but they might lack the on-ice glue or on-court glue.
Okay.
But in this case, it's ice. And so I'm sending him to the Dallas Stars because I feel like they have, you know, obviously they have those amazing forwards who are very, very productive, and obviously they have that great veteran leadership. They have Joe Pavelski, they have Jamie Benn.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like Bruce Brown would fit in well with that group of leaders.
But I think they need the sort of the connective tissue on the ice to sort of, you know, give them a boost when they're not running at their top line. And I think that Bruce Brown would be the perfect fit there as a third line center, maybe.
That's a great pick, Chris. The next team that I'm going to talk about is in a little bit of a state of flux. Are they even going to be buyers at the trade deadline? It seems like probably not now in the end. But the Atlanta Hawks are fascinating to me just because Trae Young has been outstanding this year. Full credit to him. I know people were sort of up and down on him. I think he's really had a statement season. But with that being said, the Hawks, like, the record is just not where it should be for having a player of his caliber. They are currently sitting at 10th in the Eastern Conference at 18-26. They're on a 3-game losing streak. They're only a game ahead of the Brooklyn Nets for that final play-in spot. So I think they will. In real life, maybe they don't buy, but here they're going to buy because they need defense in a bad way. So they're going to acquire Chris Tanev of the Calgary Flames. He's going to come and just sort of shore up that defense alongside DeJounte Murray and their good big men to just sort of make them a defensive team capable of keeping up with a Trae Young offense.
I like it, Griffin. I like where your head's at. And I also think that if they were to be buyers at the trade deadline, that would be the right kind of buy to make. That they're not buying a Noah Hanifin or an Elias Lindholm. That they're buying cheaply, but someone who fills a need, and even though they're not necessarily the best in that sort of type of player, that it's the player that they can kind of afford without having to spend into the future to get him.
Right.
Okay, I like it.
Thank you.
I am going to find a new location to a player who's on a good team. A great team, in fact, but has recently been seeing his playing time slip quite a bit. And that's Andre Kuzmenko, Griffin, of the Vancouver Canucks. Obviously had a bit of a breakout rookie season last year, a very impressive rookie campaign. And now it seems like he's sort of fallen out of favor a little bit. I don't know. I feel like there are sort of some questions swirling around how much you can expect him to sort of commit to the sort of structure that the Canucks are asking, which, you know, could be a bit of a red flag for a team trying to acquire him. But you want to talk about a team that's young, but not too young, because, you know, even though he's a second year player, he came over quite late. I think he's 27 years old now. So you want a team where he's going to get playing time, a team that's competitive and isn't too young, but, you know, still has some room to grow. I'm going to send him to the New Orleans Pelicans. They have sort of, I think, struggled to build out their rotation. I think their bench is a pretty big point of concern for them right now. And so you bring Andre Kuzmenko in as a bench scorer, sort of up their offensive production off the bench, give them a more reliable option in that department. And I think that he's going to have a good time playing there, maybe playing a little more loosely. And just getting to score the ball and not being asked to do too much.
I like that a lot, Chris. I'm a fan of the Pelicans. I want them to do well, so I think Kuzmenko is a perfect addition for them. So the Pelicans, we've given them quite the list. They have to trade for Andre Kuzmenko and re-sign Jonas Valanciunas. They're getting some consonants into their roster.
And some continents, specifically Europe.
Yeah, so exciting times to be a New Orleans Pelican fan. I've got one more for you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're in need of defense. They're in need of goaltending. So why not get someone who can defend the area where the other team is trying to score in and also secure some of those rebounds that sometimes tend to squeak away.
So true.
I'm going to keep this man. I'm going to let him keep his apartment. He can stay in the same city. Jakob Poeltl, I'm going to ship from the Toronto Raptors to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They give them a big, powerful presence to secure both ends of the ice.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talked about the idea of cross-city trades, but this isn't a cross-city trade. This is an intra-city trade.
Very true.
So I like it for Jakob. I think he's very comfortable here. And I think, you know, he probably as a, you know, sort of an Andre Kuzmenko type, a guy that's, you know, in his prime, who's not old, but, you know, he's not young anymore, I don't think. I think that that's exactly where the Maple Leafs are at right now as well, that they still have those young players, quote unquote, but those young players are now veterans. And, you know, You sort of throw him in the mix, and I think he does shore up some of their issues for sure.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're such a big fan of my roster building.
Absolutely. I've got one more as well, Griffin. The roommate saga continues, no doubt, but this is live to tape, so we'll press on.
Yep.
I've got one of the most hotly talked about players on the trade block in the NBA, Griffin, Zach LaVine. Obviously, injuries have been a big issue for him. Obviously, he's got quite a significant contract. And so the Chicago Bulls, I think, are at the point where they'll just give him away. Have been, well, basically, I mean, yeah. that's unironically true. Like they have been trying to push for a trade for pretty much the whole season now. And it hasn't really materialized. It seems like they would be happy to just get like matching salaries and not have to take a bad contract back in return to get off of Zach LaVine's contract. And so This is a huge buy low opportunity for a team that wants star power, or, you know, might be lacking in star power, but is sort of on the come up and is looking for a player who can push them maybe from the not a playoff team category to the in the playoffs category. I've got a team that is sneakily only 3 points out of a wild card spot right now, Griffin. It might be a little lacking in the star power department. The St. Louis Blues.
Interesting stuff. The new coach boost, mm-hmm. and I think that Zach LaVine's a perfect fit there. We know that they've got the solid defensive structure that the Blues are always known for, and mm-hmm. appears to be how they've been winning games lately. So, yeah, I like that as a push over the line for them to try and get into that dance. Because once you get in the dance, anything can happen. I think that's one thing we know about the NHL playoffs.
How familiar, Griffin, are you with Robert Thomas?
He plays for the St. Louis Blues, I think.
Absolutely. He is their leader in points right now.
Yeah, that's not going to do.
By far. And then, you know, you have Jordan Kyrou, obviously, as a name. Pavel Buchnevich is a name. But, you know, neither of those guys are even really sniffing point per game. And I think that even if Zach LaVine is going to give you some issues on the defensive end, you don't love his contract, he can give you a point per game.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Some would say he'd give you 25 LaVine points per game. Could
definitely average a point per game in the NHL. You have heard that right here. If you're using the transitive property.
Yeah, the transitive properties of athleticism, exactly.
Well, Chris, I think we have sufficiently shaken up both the NBA and the NHL.
Absolutely.
We've turned some teams into contenders. We've solidified some title contenders. We've pushed some teams into the playoff race. And I think that's just about going to do it. We're going to finish on time for once.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we did a good job.
I'm glad you know it's not very good.
Griffin.
Yes.
Porter97 on Twitter. Oh. C. and Jen on Twitter. HFLC Podcast on Twitter. How are those TikToks coming? That was your New Year's resolution.
Yeah, nothing from last week's episode because we didn't do well enough, but hopefully there's something good in here. What could we do that's good in here?
Maybe a really good impression of someone?
No, it's got to be sports related, and there were no good impressions except for my Jimmy Stewart, which popped up again this week.
I think Tyler Bertuzzi's just having a down year.
Wow.
Henry Fonda's weighed in.
No, it definitely wasn't Henry Fonda weighing in. I'm not sure who it was.
But Bugs Bunny weighed in. If it becomes a Bugs Bunny impression, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, listen, who in their life doesn't want a good Bugs Bunny impression?
Sure. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you all for listening. And until next time, please keep your floors high and your ceilings low.